Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Hello, I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Business of Sport podcast on The Athletic. Matt Slater with us as usual. And our guest today is Edwin van der Sar, a legend on the football pitch as a player, winning the Champions League at both Manchester United and Ajax. And since retiring, he started a charity foundation, picked up a master's degree in sport management from the Johan Cruyff Institute, and then went back to Ajax to take on the role of sporting director. And then in 2016, took on his current role as CEO of the club. Welcome to the pod, Edwin. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Mark. And hi, Matt. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, to be fair. We're playing a cup match tonight and looking forward to the rest of the season. It's been interesting so far. And it's positive, and let's hope we can move on for the rest of the season.
That's some career path since retiring from playing football. How much was that in your plans as you came to the end of your career?
not really, to be fair, because I think the moment I was 34, when Alex Ferguson gave me a call to talk about a possible move to United. I didn't read it. Didn't really see that one coming. Then I hoped, let's say, okay, I was at United for 2 years. Let's hope to win a Premier League title, and then retire at 36. But finally, it was 40 when I ended up my career. Yeah, just before the end, I got a call from Johan Cruyff. Do you want to think about possibly doing something for Ajax in a director's role? But that was not really one of the things that I was aiming for after my career, to be fair.
When you decided to take him up on that offer and sat down to start your master's degree, did you find that you took to it like a duck to water, or how challenging was it at the start?
No, it's challenging because as a player, probably the intention span is not that much, not high. You train an hour and a half after 15 minutes in a meeting. When the coach is shown the video analyst, half of the guys are how long does it have to take? So then you have to, become a director or a board member. Then, you have long meetings, a lot of paperwork, of course, to read, a lot of emails. Everybody want to know something from you. And as a player, you've been treated as a queen, for example, or as a king. But everything needs to be done. Everything needs to be in function, of course, to perform on a Saturday afternoon or the Tuesday evening in the Champions League.
Have you enjoyed it?
Very much, of course. It doesn't be being in a dressing room with 20 players, or the moment you make a save or your team scores a last minute goal, and that impact you have with the guys. But to be of value, hopefully, for the club that gave me the opportunity to start the rise in international football. That gives a lot of satisfaction and it's a lot of hard work, but it's really enjoyable.
So before we get down to some of the issues around Ajax and some of the issues in the game with you, what have you found the most challenging as CEO of the club?
You don't, as a player, you don't know. Yeah, you're connected with the coach, of course, the manager, the assistant, the tea ladies, the chef, the marketing people. I'm like, you have to do some commercial shoot. The whole the array of departments that are needed to run a football club: security, commercial, ticket sales, talking with the government, the football federations, the UEFA, and everything. So it's such a broad and wide world. That the job makes it very interesting to be touched on all different levels, and that makes it very interesting, but also challenging. At a certain point, people want a decision, and at a certain point, the voices they stop and they look at you. Okay, now we go left, we go right, or we go down the center. Yes, sometimes scary in the beginning, but at a certain point, you know, they have to come decision. You have to go, you have to guide the club, you have to guide the team. And that's what you are, that's what you're doing.
Edwin, you mentioned that, you know, one of the people you have to talk to now, one of the groups you have to talk to is the government. And of course, we're all living with COVID. You're speaking to us from the stadium, I think, and you've got a game tonight. So how's the Netherlands dealing with COVID? How are Ajax dealing with COVID?
Just had a press conference yesterday of the last 4 weeks where we're not allowed to have fans in the stadium. Of course, for a football club, you have a couple of instruments where you put your budget on for the yearly budget. And one of them is ticket sales and season tickets. Yeah, if they are not allowed in the stadium, then we saw that a year and a half ago, then clubs have a massive problem. So for us in Holland, being being the biggest club, being the club with the biggest stadium, yeah, we incur in the biggest losses not be able to have fans in the stadium. And that feels strange if let's say the UK, in Spain, Italy, we see so many countries where still fans allowed in the stadium. But of course, I think the health crisis where we're in with the COVID, yeah, it's a massive impact for the last 2 years, almost 2 years now, and also on the world of sport.
Let's get into Ajax's finances, because I think they're fascinating. I mean, I was just looking at your numbers going back over the last few years, and look, your income is about sort of, you know, mid to lower level Premier League, but with one really interesting variable: how far you go in the Champions League. You go a long way in the Champions League. It's half your money, isn't it?
Yeah, true. I think our budget in the last couple of years has been increasing, but when we go out, let's say the normal budget is 140, 150 million, and that is including a lot of money from Champions League. Commercial revenue were around, I think we grew over the last 7-8 years from 23 to 35 million. We have some good partners like Ziggo, our main sponsor. Adidas has been with us a long time. So that's something where we can work for ourselves. That's money that you can earn yourself by the performance on the pitch, the way the we put the club out on the marketing side, on the commercial side. But for example, TV rights, we are getting around 9 million TV money in as the biggest club in Holland.
That's euros, of course. 9 million euros.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think the number 20 in the Premier League is getting 120, 130 million pounds. So that's almost all our budget with ticket sales, with commercial partners, TV revenue. So we have a massive challenge to perform on the highest level in European football. I think we're an iconic club. Everybody knows, I think, the name Ajax, the players that we developed, but the challenges that we have are massive if we want to perform on the European top level, and that's Champions League, and making a difference there.
At the start of a financial year, do you have a set level you have to achieve in the Champions League? Do you put that into a budget? Because that's very difficult, isn't it? And what, in essence, is... it is a cup competition still. I know there's a group stage, but when so much of your money comes from a cup competition, that must be quite difficult to build into a budget.
Yes, that's where we've done it the last 4 years. We've built it into our budget. Before that, it was, for example, playing Europa League till Christmas. But at that point, we didn't get to play in the Champions League enough, for example. And if you want to play Champions League, you have to have a Champions League budget. And of course, Ajax is well renowned by developing players, given the opportunity to play. And after 2, 3, 4 years, most of the time they perform at a really high level, then other clubs start knocking on our door. So we have been selling players for a long time. Also, when we played in the Champions League 2010 till 2014, that income we have... we used it a little bit, but also put it in as a reserve for worse times. So we were quite able to make the decision, because we had a healthy bank balance. Where I think one of the clubs is, we don't have any debt. We have, but I said, like a healthy bank balance. So I think we were able to take the opportunity to have a more offensive budget than normal. And I think what I spoke to also to the supervisory board and the shareholder, Ajax is well known about creative football, attacking football. And on the budget side, we were a little bit defensive, playing the ball along in the midfield instead of making passes to the strikers. So that's what we changed 4 years ago.
Do you like the challenge of building the club up so that they are successful in the Champions League. Then, as you say, clubs come and pick those players and you're starting again. Or do you think, oh my God, I just wish for an easy life and we continue to build this squad and be successful? Which is it?
I think the most successful squads in history are teams who are for a certain period together. But we know Holland being one of the smaller mid-sized countries in Holland, what I already said about the TV revenue of around 9 million, we know the quality of the players that we developed, the scouting department that Mark Overmars leads. If we find the right players who can perform for the club for 2, 3, 4 years, and then we know that there's a next step. The players want to maybe develop into an even better player, and they like to challenge themselves even more. So we know that situation that was in the 70s, that has been in the 80s for ourselves in the 90s, with the players that we have, with David, with Seder, with Kluivert, with Overmars, De Boer, Lidmanen. At a certain point, we had success, and then the teams start knocking on your door and you make a next move. And that makes us proud also.
But I'm just wondering about, your player trading model, which has been so successful over the years. You mentioned the 90s team that was picked apart. And, you've done well in recent years. I'm thinking of Cillessen and Frankie de Jong to Barcelona for good money. What's it like now? Because it does appear that COVID has had an impact on the entire European transfer system. Are you feeling that at Ajax? Is it harder to sell players for good money, for reasonable money?
The most important thing is that's you need to develop them. You need to give them opportunity to play. And of course, for us, it's much higher to keep the same level. And normally clubs look at, let's say, the positions 9 till 13, and they lose the weakest players and try to improve the squad. And for us, we always lose the top 4 players, and we have to adjust. And for example, this year, we're reaching a certain level again. But it's extremely hard, of course. Yeah, we sold some players to Barcelona, to Juventus, to England. Money in big leagues must flow down the pyramid. That's, I think, for development of football, it's utmost important. If there's only, let's say, money in the top 5 leagues, then football is dead. Because you need investment in football, you need investment in youth coaches, you need investment in infrastructure. And I know that's the question also in the UK about the grassroots football. And that's something where we have to make sure that the European football pyramid is there. And at Ajax, we are dependable on the big clubs if they come knocking on our door to buy our players. And of course, Mark Overmars is a very good negotiator. And I think the quality that we deliver for players here at Ajax or the next step is eminent and a great example how a club in different financial leagues as others where you compete can survive.
You mentioned that you asked your board to be a little bit more aggressive, to play slightly more attacking football, if you like, in terms of the budget. And you also talked about your marketing, your commercial growth, which is obvious to me looking from the outside in. And I think one of the most innovative deals I've seen this season is your Bob Marley shirt, mm-hmm. which I know there's a good story behind it. I mean, UEFA initially had a slight problem with the shirt, but you managed to get that fixed. So tell me about dealing with the Bob Marley estate and how you came to the idea of that shirt and how well it's done. Is it doing well? It seems to do well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now those are things, of course, with Adidas, it's a trusted partner for a long time, so the connection is there. How do you increase your revenue? Our stadium is full, so you need to look on the commercial side. And together with Adidas, we've been focusing on creating a story around Ajax, original story around Ajax. And for example, the Bob Marley song, Three Little Birds, that song has been, I think, initiated in 2008, 2009 with a game in that we played in Wales, when our supporter needed to wait after the game, and this and the DJ put the song up, and the whole wave section started to sing it. And every when the team comes up in the second half, our fans are singing this song. So that's why it was a connection. And so we started together with Adidas, spoke with the Marley, one of the daughters and the son from Bob Marley, also with some of the agents and the people around the family, and came up with the idea to make a tribute to Bob Marley, to our supporters. And that, that worked extremely well. The amount of jersey that was sold from this from this iconic jersey. It's been amazing, to be fair, and even we expected not so much interest as has been seen through the whole world.
When you talk about your brand, then following on from that, we talk about, you know, top five leagues and big clubs and their brands, and sometimes people don't like using the word brand when it comes to a football club. But where would you put your brand within the European Football League? Are you in the top 10 of European football clubs with your brand, would you say?
I want to be something different, and of course the quality that we all the time need to deliver, we have to work on the top of our qualities, to be fair, to improve the team all the time, to make sure that we're competitive, that we can play Champions League football, that we can make a difference with homegrown players. And that's something that's ideal. The problem we have, the Dutch league is not very much watched all over the world on a Saturday or Sunday. A game against Ajax, against PSV, is not that important as Man United against Brighton, Hove and Albion, for example. So we're lacking exposure. That's hurting us also. So we have to be original. So we have to find ways to make Ajax visible to the football world. And of course, we have that with an iconic jersey. Our shirt doesn't change. It's still the red... red lane, yeah, on a white shirt, instead of and it's still vertical, and not like somebody is certainly making vertical stripes horizontal, not using different colors. So we have to have original marketing actions. We have to players who are well-known names in Europe, let's say, that's Frenkie de Jong or Matthijs de Ligt or Hakim Ziyech. Yeah, the moment you can maybe capitalize on them, they're going to move to a different club. So for us, it's more the name Ajax, the jersey, the heritage, Johan Cruyff, Amsterdam, the three crosses, or now the iconic Bob Marley shirt. Those are moments that we need to thrive and make sure that we are counted for.
Yeah, it's such a good point on Ajax PSV not viewed as being as important as Manchester United Brighton, which, I mean, we're all very similar ages here. So, and obviously Ajax means something a lot different to you, Edwin, because it is your club. But, you know, Ajax, to those of us who were born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s and 90s, it's a very, very special football club. So how does the Eredivisie, how does Dutch football make Ajax PSV, Feyenoord Ajax, Feyenoord PSV, how does it make it more accessible now to a global audience, or is that nigh on impossible because of the behemoths of the Premier League, La Liga, and Serie A?
A little bit, yeah, because I think whatever our Eredivisie has maybe 10 people working. I think the Premier League and the La Liga, and they have 200 people working outside the UK. Mm. So. Those games and those deals we're never gonna make. So we have to make sure that they're original, that we always able to find the talent and bring that talent to a club or to a different country where maybe the interest will be there. So in that way, it makes it interesting for us to fight against the big leagues, and we have to find ways to be visible, to be important, and that way, of course, the European Europa League final 2017 against United was important. 2019, reaching the semi-final in the Champions League, where clubs from mid-sized countries were not able to, let's say, to reach finals. Yeah, it was 5 seconds, I think, before the end. And we would have been in a final, and those kind of things, yeah, those are the moments where we need to focus on, to be fair.
Is one of the possible things you could try, Edwin, is it to team up? We talk about trying to sell PSV versus Ajax, but would it be easier to sell Bruges versus Ajax, or Anderlecht versus Ajax, or maybe Celtic or Rangers versus Ajax, teams that you have a lot in common with?
Yeah, no, of course, what you hear, of course, the market is so small, you only have 17 million people living in Holland, so need to create bigger markets. And at the moment, there are talks between Belgium and Holland to have a look at Beneliga, and I think there are more initiatives going on also in the rest of Europe, probably in the east of Europe and everything. So it's interesting, and you need to create a bigger market, bigger interest for TV companies. But nowadays also with new streaming services coming into football, our rights are still, I think, till 25 are sold to ESPN. So hopefully there will be a possibility there for an increase. Of course, we're looking at the Bundesliga and or France, and we know the TV rights even in the US. I think the US is a big boom market at the moment for football. So it's an interesting period to be in football on many sides, many challenges, but also on the TV side and the way we hopefully can improve the visibility of the Eredivisie.
Another possibility in terms of the competitive balance within Europe is if you could somehow control the spending of the bigger teams, perhaps bring them back to the field a little bit.
I agree. I take it. Whatever you want.
Well, but Edwin, you have a voice here. You're on the executive board of the European Club Association. You get to talk to Nasser Al-Khelaifi at PSG and the guys at the big clubs in the Bundesliga and the Premier League. What you could say to them, you know, help me out. Let's have a fairer competition.
Yeah, they say let's have another competitor who can win the Champions League. I think it's important that TV rights or commercialization of football is there, but I think it must be fair. So if we know the rights of the Dutch league are not in the same dimension as the Spanish rights. So that money that's there that need to flow. But the main thing for me, make it honest and everything. So don't spend more than you have. Don't take up any debt. Those kind of things are for club as Ajax for clubs for let's say. Maybe from a little bit like the Nordic side of Europe, it's really important that there are guidelines that say the Dutch league is and the Dutch federation is very clear about taking on debt or putting a budget in. That's not correct. Those kind of things it's important. And of course, I have a voice, but there are some other people at the table also. And I think keep following the Premier League also about the Premier League rights or the Big Six compared to the other 14 clubs. Does Celtic and Rangers do they want to join the Premier League or what does it mean for Scottish football? So there's so many possibilities or impossibilities or things where we need to think of. And football is moving. I think from 24 onwards, of course, there's a new way UEFA is setting up the Champions League, and that makes it interesting for let's say mid-sized clubs to participate in those competitions, more games, more international exposure, and that is what clubs from the size like Ajax or say Red Bull Salzburg or Benfica are needing to improve and to keep growing and hopefully be a challenge of the top five clubs.
Has the dynamic at the table you sit at European football changed since the whole European Super League fiasco?
At least the some of the names and clubs have been changed.
Has it given CEOs like you, clubs like yours, more power?
No, I think it's the all aftermath of the Super League, the resurrection, and within 2 days also the downfall of the Super League. That was incredible. I think you always have to make sure that there's a good system to work in through whole Europe. There must be an adequate distribution model to make sure that clubs can deliver players for top clubs. And if you suck them, if you don't give the necessary funds to develop clubs, to have better coaches, better trainers, better facilities, then the level of football will go down in the end. So that's why there's an importance in making sure there's a viable path of money to flow from top to bottom.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Let me come back to you talking about Mark Overmars and his department and what he brings to Ajax. You must have been delighted to have tied him down. When you played, did you have an agent? And if so, therefore, are contract negotiations quite new to you?
No, of course, I had an agent, Rob Janssen. He's to be fair, still my agent.
Right.
So I sometimes have some even now some commercial deals, for example, left and right. That's if that allowed by the board, if they're not conflicting sponsor models. But no, I think Marcus agreeing deals for himself for a long time, creating the deals for the players. And in that way, we're extremely happy that he extended his stay in Amsterdam. I think the way we can work together is second to none. We know each other for almost 30 years. So it's fantastic that that the connection that we had as a player at Ajax in the national team and also now for the last 9 years at the club. And I think the club is getting the fruits from the cooperation we have, the vision that we put down, and the context that Mark the context that he had in the world of football, and his fantastic eye of talent.
Forget the business side of things. That must be really nice for the two of you to be working at this club that means so much to you, having known each other for. I mean, that is just I know it's not a very cool thing to say, but that is just really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. But it's not that we go to each other's birthdays or something. We see each other enough. But I think that's one of the things for Ajax. I think it's. We always have to rely on former players to come back to be in certain roles, and sometimes as a coach, sometimes as an assistant coach or scouting. The vision that Johan had to bring football players into the board in a director's role, and to making sure that football is leading in the directors during the directors' meetings that we have. So yeah, that's something that we cherish, and we're happy to prolong.
A minute ago, when you picked up that big pile of papers when you were in front of you, when you were talking about Mark Overmars, I wondered if it was his contract.
No, it's I have a lunch later on.
Oh,
it's some information about
will you cross everything, Edwin?
They are like 5 years, 12 and a half years, or even one is 25 years at the club. So I got some information that I can. Of course, we have 450 people working. Most of them I know, but sometimes nice to be helped a little bit for some input.
Well, there you go. That's the life of a CEO. You're across everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, speaking of though, we were Mark, and of course your amazing manager Erik ten Hag. You know, he's just topped the Champions League group. I think that's the first time a Dutch team has done that, isn't it? Six wins out of six.
Yeah, I think we topped the league, we topped the group. I think in our time around 95, 96
oh, okay.
times, but not winning six out of six, and it's a great performance. I think the level of ambition that we put aside the last couple of years was participating in Champions League. The last 2-3 years, we've been aiming to go to the last 16. That happened in 18-19. We were very unlucky the 2 years after. I think you remember the game at Chelsea 2 years ago. We were winning 4-1. not clear blue sky, for example, and in 5 seconds we got 2 red cards and a penalty against, and at the end we finished 4-4. So we've been unlucky in the past, but we created a new there's some player, David Blin, Dusan Tadic, there are still players who are went with us on the trip in 18-19. But we, for example, Ryan Gravenberg or Jurjen Timber, those are the replacements from Matthijs de Ligt and Frenkie de Jong. And they're playing at the same or maybe even a higher level than those guys. And that makes it interesting to work for Ajax. It's always a challenge to find the players, to connect them to you, to believe the story that we are putting in front of them, and to have 2 homegrown players back into the team. That's our DNA.
Well, obviously retaining playing talent is important. You know, we've been talking about Mark Overmars, we've talked about Eric. Retaining your off-field talent's really important as well. You get offers, don't you? You get linked with jobs. There's a job available here in England that you're often linked with. Mm-hmm. Is that flattering that, you know, one of your former teams, Manchester United, for example?
Oh, really? Every job you do, you want to do it as good as possible. And I think we have had success on the pitch. As a player, winning trophies, getting respect, and for us, it's important to do the same trick as a director, and in the position that we're doing now, and that you're linked or talked about, is something that we enjoy. Of course, that means we're doing something right, but the feeling is that we're not ready yet here in Amsterdam. I think there's still room to improvement, and the way Eric, we had a contract meeting with him last year. And he saw really improvement in the team. He saw still possibility to perform at a higher level, and that's the way he is doing that. The way the players are developing, it's fantastic. And that your name once in a while pops up. Yeah, of course, I got a connection with United, and but I'm extremely happy here in Amsterdam.
I have to say, I often think that's really undervalued within sport in general, Edwin. If you are being challenged by your job and feel that you are improving and you are happy, why on earth would you want to go anywhere else? I mean, sport seems to throw all of those rules out the window. In any other business, you go, hang on a minute, this is absolutely perfect for me. Why on earth would I want to go somewhere else when I am benefiting so much from the role that I am doing?
True, there's always a next step, or you want to have a new experience, you want to... Let's see if you can do the trick another time. So probably in the end, as a player, you always at a certain point you feel a certain urge. You want to take a next step. You need a new challenge. You're on a dead track, whatever. For example, at Ajax, I wanted a new challenge. I went to Juventus. At Juventus, I was a dead track. Ended up at Fulham. Stayed maybe a little bit, 1 or 2 years too long. But at the end, I got the deal or the transfer that could finish my career at a high, and then playing 6 years. So. Probably at the end, I will. At a certain point, you will take. You want to go for next challenge, but at the moment we're extremely fine here in Amsterdam.
Just one on a former connection at United, and that is around Sir Alex Ferguson. When players of his go on to be coaches, they always talk about how he is available for advice and always at the other at the end of the phone, and they can talk to him. Bearing in mind that when, as part of his management, you know he's gone and given. Talks to Harvard Business School and the management side of sport is very big for him. Is he there for you in that way as a CEO?
I have connections, of course, with Sir Alex, and we talk regularly, let's say, every couple of months, whatever. But so let's say the main focus point that I connected with was David Gill. Before I took up the job here in Amsterdam, I flew over to Manchester to speak to him. He said, "Don't bring your wife, because if your wife is going to hear what I'm going to say, you're not allowed to take up the job." So I put it in mind. But it's a challenging job. It's as a player, let's say, you only have to focus on trading. That's it. But yeah, the deal making, the talk with other clubs, with federations, with unions, with the security, with government, with the local authorities. With the players, with the commercial guys, so it's amazing. To be fair, it's a great job.
All your other pros that you've played with, the ones in the TV studios, just explain maybe the next 2 or 3 things you're doing today. that might surprise them. What's on your schedule for the rest of the day, Edwin?
Whatever. So I start at 9 o'clock. We had a meeting with one of the from our stadium. The one of the supervisory board members came to introduce herself. Then I had talk about the games in the Dutch football. How we can adjust to like European football European games that we're playing. How can we make sure that we play the game on a Saturday or Sunday? So with playing times. Now I have you guys for an hour. I have a lunch, let's say, for an hour with 12 people who are been here long time here at the club. I have to take up make a video clip later on for the end of the year message. We have a meeting with sponsors before the game. I have an interview with 2 12-year-olds for a school paper. That's also part of it. They have not talking about my emails that I've been getting in. So that's sort of like, and then we play at 9 o'clock. And then probably at home around 12 o'clock. So
and same again tomorrow.
Now I know why. No, that's not true. I think Gary Neville, for example. I think I love Gary how he developed himself. He's a guy that always talked a lot in his dressing room, and the way he's setting up his companies, the way he is. Is the overlap and the business side, but also Monday Night Football. Rio is doing a great job. Other guys are in the studio. Scorsese never really said a lot in the dressing room, but as a pundit, he's very outspoken. Roy Keane has always been outspoken, of course, in the dressing room or outside the dressing room. So it's some guys have tried it. Didn't work out. It's a competitive business, of course, and being a coach, being a manager, it's not easy. It's a hell of a job, to be fair.
I think it's really interesting, actually, that at least three of you from within that squad, you, Neville, as you say, Rio Ferdinand as well, have all gone very much down as well as other things, but all very successful business-wise. That's really, it probably says a lot about the leadership within that squad at the time and the leadership of Ferguson himself, I would argue.
Yeah, I think Ferguson was not really that often in the dressing room because there were, Giggs, Gary, Pio, myself, Vidic, Carrick, Rooney, Ronaldo, so... There was a big core, of course, of players who were experienced and it could guide the younger players to a certain level, and that's what I like also at Ajax, development, making sure that you give young guys, young talent a chance, not only on the pitch but also in the offices. If you see the creativity on our media department, the creation of our video content, for example we make sure last year that our fans are not allowed to come into the stadium. We created an activation, the trophy that we won, the play that we won for the Dutch Eredivisie, for example. Yeah, we that question: shall we do something nice for the fans? Shall we melt shall we melt the trophy and give all the fans a piece of the trophy? So yeah, we melted the trophy. We gave 42,000 season ticket holders a piece of the trophy. And those kind of things, that's what Ajax is about. Creativity, not only on the pitch, but also off the pitch.
You didn't have to give that trophy back, Edwin. You did check.
Yeah, we like to win it another couple of times.
Okay. My final one is a two-part thing then. You may have answered the first one, which is why aren't there more former players in your roles? Because
it's hard work.
Yeah, I think you've answered that.
24/7, it's 7 days a week. It's not like whatever, watching 20 minutes of a game and then thinking that you can know how the team plays, and you have a scout, or you have also an analyst who gives you information, and you can talk with two or three guys in the studio. Yeah, you laugh a little bit and you crack a couple of jokes and you get paid a fortune in England.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, the ex-players, yeah, probably not you guys who are like the real.
The ex-players certainly get a lot more than I do, Edwin. I can guarantee that. And so the other part of that is then finally, as a former footballer in this role, when you walk into these meetings with government or commercial or European top tables or whatever, do you think you garner more respect as a former footballer, or do some of them look down on you because you only did your master's in business 4 or 5 years ago?
Probably, yeah. Okay, you're surrounded by most of the time very intelligent people, people who studied, people who are, that made a great career. A lot of lawyers, for example, also around in on the, around the football tables and the clubs. But I think, you need to be, what are we talking about? We're talking about football. So even as a, let's say, as a goalkeeper, also, I couldn't win a game on my own. I could make sure we kept a clean sheet. We needed your defenders to that the cross were not coming in, but that the center half is defending the striker. The midfielder was giving the pass. The striker needed to score the goal. So, I need a good team also around me. So, and that's something that as a goalkeeper, I always looked from behind and making sure we went forward. Now being, let's say, the top guy. But I liked it to leading from the back, making sure that the circumstances are good for my staff, that the players are happy, that there is a chance of winning trophies. So in that way, it's I don't find it really that different of leading my defense from the back or leading the club, let's say, from the top down. And there are a lot of conversations and I don't see that people looking down and on former players, and especially if you're deliver the results, if you have something meaningful to say, then only knowing the knowledge from paper or from books.
Edwin, thank you so much for giving us your time. We already know what a busy day you've got ahead of you, so we will leave it there. Thank you. It's been fascinating to talk to you. Merry Christmas and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.
Many thanks.
Oh, man, Edwin. Thank Bye-bye. You. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, no problem. See you, guys. Good luck.
Right, that's it. Thanks once again to Edwin for joining us. Right now, you can subscribe to The Athletic and get a 33% discount. Just go to theathletic.com/footballpod. And I'm back on Monday for The Athletic Football Podcast. Thanks for listening.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.